Hi, you're on www.earthtriberadio.com, your home on planet Earth. And hey, Fiona.
Hey, Jill.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well today on this hazy day. It's almost like we're sitting in the middle of a cloud here.
Yes, isn't it amazing? What is it that way up in the
it's up top of the hill? In the mountain, it's that way too.
Okay.
It's like you're sitting right in the center of a cloud.
Wow, how nice. All right, so we're gonna have a conversation today, which I think is we really need to explore this. And you're calling it the disease of more.
Mm-hmm. I'm not the person who coined that phrase, but I think it's such an important thing for us to explore, because we explore it in our relationships, in our physical body, in our work, in every spirituality, in every aspect of our life. This disease of more is something that's grabbed our culture. And it makes us feel unsatisfied. It makes us feel not good enough. It makes us, you know, it really makes us unsettled and imbalanced.
Yeah.
And I think that what we're going to do today is look at a few of the aspects in our life. And the kitty's sitting up there chasing, just about ready to chase his tail.
Yes, looking for something to attack.
He's so cute. So let's have a look at the disease of more in our, just in what we have, first of all.
The disease of more is, to me, is indicates an emptiness inside us. You look at, I hate to mention it, but like the Kardashians and people like that, which is, it's just the more I have, the more I can get, the more expensive it is, the more I can show it to people, I can hold it over people, the more I can do, the more. It's really indicative of a desperately empty space within that they keep trying to fill up, or that we keep trying to fill up with something other than ourselves.
Yeah, there was a person I knew once, and their joy was to go to yard sales, and that was their, mm-hmm. They didn't have a lot of money, so that was their entertainment every week, was to go to yard sale, and for a few cents, you know, or a few dollars, they could get some new things. And the thing that the lady loved to buy was outside things, like a dog that would sit outside, or a duck that would sit outside, and I could see that it did make her happy, so I'm not saying that it's wrong in any way. And the yard became completely full of these things that she would get. And
inanimate objects, yes.
And if it makes her happy, but is what you're saying, though, is if only she knew some way fill herself up.
Or what is it that she feels like she's missing?
Yeah.
And for me, the answer, the path to that, answering that question, has always been to simplify, to appreciate having less, to going and helping people who are suffering or need something, and I've got so much. When I moved back from England after 27 years and I had 300 boxes of books, I mean, well, how was I going to read all those? And buying a book doesn't mean you're going to learn from it if you don't read it, you know? That's an aspect of the more.
Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to do now is find the joy in less.
And I think there's a huge minimalist movement now, right? Which is people are trying to live in a minimal kind of way. Yeah. It kind of happened to us because everything burnt, you know, our house burnt and everything burnt. So, and it's very easy to let the creep happen again.
Exactly.
If you're not careful.
Yeah.
You know.
So while you're now rebuilding a house and finding things to replace what you lost, I have got all these things that I've opened a 30-year storage that came from England. Oh, what a lesson that is. What an awakening that is. And I have to say, my first reaction on opening these boxes, thinking, oh my God, I've been paying all this money to store that for 30 years. So immediately I went to the, you know, bad you sort of thing.
Well, that's something very important to mention.
Yeah, okay, but let me just finish this. Mm-hmm. So I figured I got to change how I'm dealing with this. Mm-hmm. So what's become my joy is to find where all these things that I've been paying for all this time, if it's salvageable and doesn't have to be thrown out, where does it go?
That's a wonderful thing.
And it has brought such joy, is emptying out, emptying out, emptying out, which reminds me of that. And then I get to bring these amazing books to children's schools in areas where they don't have many books. And these are beautiful books that are like 50, 100 years old, children's books with the illustrations and things. And then, of course, the great books that I took to St. Thomas Aquinas for their classroom. I mean, what joy it is to find where these go.
And there's always somebody who needs it.
Yes.
You know, so, yeah. And they're always different. It's not in the United States. It's usually Goodwill or one of the, in Ojai, California, we have a place called Help.
Help of Ojai.
Yeah, and that's a really wonderful organization. It helps in so many ways, and it also has a thrift store, so you can
Help of Ojai is a wonderful way to recycle.
Yes,
recycle things,
and it does such a lot of things, mm-hmm. like help people find people to read to them or take them lunches when they can't make their own food.
Well, right now I'm working with ARC down in Oxnard, so every Friday is the pickup. Were the boxes out there when you pulled in?
No, I didn't. I was so focused on getting the coffee and the computer.
Okay, so I had boxes out there. There were boxes of children's books that I put together, and also three-ring binders, leather binders, beautiful things for a school for all these kids, children who might not be able to afford things like this, pens and pencils and that have never been used, that I've been paying for 30 years, and somebody gets to have them and use them.
Yeah.
And so, for me, going towards less and honoring myself as well as other people by giving things away.
That is so wonderful. Karen Kingston wrote a book probably 30 years ago called Clearing Your Clutter. I think it was something like that title, but it's Karen Kingston. And she started a whole movement about going through our houses and working out what we no longer need and do we need it.
Yeah.
And, you know, really putting a focus on clearing stuff out, as you said, and sharing the stuff as opposed to hanging on to it.
Well, now if I see something in a store, so now we're going to the more aspect,
mm-hmm.
which you're facing because you have to rebuild everything after your house burnt down with everything in it. So I think, oh, that is absolutely beautiful. Do I want it or do I need it?
Mm.
Which is a big thing. No.
Big deal.
Yeah. And then the other thing that comes with me when I see, oh, but I really love it. That whole transmission I had one time in the middle of the night, you don't have to have it to have it. So if I see something beautiful in a store and I don't need it, I just drink it in with my eyes.
Mm, good idea.
Then, oh, my golly, let me just absorb that into my being and then I have it. I don't have to have it to have it, you see? And there's another Zen proverb that I like so much that can apply to this too. You have to have an empty cup before the master can pour the tea. Now, to me, in interpreting that, I don't necessarily believe in a master other than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So consider yourself the master. But in order to fill something up, it has to be empty to begin with.
And then I think is, you know, the idea of just being simple and being joyous and being present in the moment. There's not a lot of clutter in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're present in the moment, we don't have a lot of thoughts going on in our mind. And that's where mindfulness comes in. And so I think that's a wonderful thing.
And also that you raise a very good point. It's very much easier. Let's say it's less difficult to meditate when you're not cluttered, when you're you're not so full up with things.
Because you're interacting with every single thing. Yeah. I mean, that's such an interesting thing, is that everything we have in our home and everything we have in every drawer, we're interacting with, because energy is moving all the time. And so if we want to have that as a part of our life, as part of it, it will be. Yeah. So we have to ask ourselves, can I go through a drawer and, you know, just move things out? And then I think what you said is so significant there too, which is, when you see something, you don't have to have it to have it. And also asking ourselves the question, do I want this or do I need this? It's like, maybe you want and you need it, but maybe you just want it and you don't need it.
And maybe one thing I used to do years ago, before I got into the less thing and not get caught into the advertising that's everywhere telling you that you need this, I used to say to myself, if I was going through a store and I found something and I really loved it, I thought, let me see if it's still here in 3 days or in a week. If it's here in a week, let me try it on. Then it might have been meant to be mine. And so a week later, if it's there, I'll go try it on. And very often I'll say, oh, no, I'm so glad I didn't just buy that and bring that home, you know. So it's being mindful, really.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Because when we just buy something because it's pretty or cool or whatever, it very often there is that buyer's remorse.
Yeah. Well, also because of the advertising. I know with young people especially, they see a beautiful model or, you know, a handsome guy modeling something, and they want to look like that. Mm-hmm. So they go and buy that because it makes them feel that they could look like that.
The disease of wanting to have more glamour or more prestige or more...
And that's, you know. And that's if we can stop doing that, we identify what it is, if there's anything... In fact, that we need, that we keep trying to fill up, is it we lack self-esteem, we lack this or we lack that, so we're just trying to stuff ourselves with things, and then we're making ourselves into a thing, you know?
Well, I think the disease of more, as I said, is in every area of our life. It also is in relationships.
Yes.
I want more from this relationship, or I want the person to be more, whatever it is. And again, it's about asking ourselves or saying to ourselves, let me be here, let me be present, and let me just know that in this moment I am complete. Let me breathe, let me feel my feet, let your soft belly, and just like be very present and okay in this moment, and not needing more and more and more from our partner or our friends or our... If we're complete here and we're feeling complete, we'll find more coming to us anyway. Mm-hmm. And the more I want more, from my relationships, usually doesn't bring any more.
No, it actually chases them away.
Yeah, it does.
It's being so needy, and a lot of people run from a partner that's very needy.
Yes.
It doesn't mean needy on occasion, because on occasion we all need something.
Absolutely.
Whether we're going through an illness or whatever.
Or just a day.
Or just a hard day. Mm-hmm. But it's a constant neediness of I'm not happy with myself, I'm not complete, I need. So there's a disease of more.
Yes, that's part of the disease of more. And the other thing is more youth is another disease of more.
Oh my golly, I could go on forever about that one. Yeah. Hmm. No, I love aging.
Yeah.
I love to see other faces, including mine, get the wrinkles and the gray hair. You know, I've earned every single gray hair and wrinkle that I have in my face. And it shows the character that you carry with you and your experiences. And all those things are absolutely stunningly beautiful. You know, whether you consider yourself beautiful or handsome or not, everything that shows through your face. shows a character. And if you go get facelift after facelift, you're wiping it all away.
Yeah, and I think that we ask ourselves, why do I need more youth? Or why do I need more to be like what people think I should be like? It's because we want to be loved, we want to be liked, we want to be appreciated.
Yeah.
Instead of knowing that we are complete without any appreciation.
Or if this whole thing about being seen to be younger than we are, so we go through all this stuff to make ourselves look younger and more attractive. I mean, I could go on forever on that. So what do you think you are attracting? You're building a lie, in fact, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lie. You're building a lie, and it's something, this is why, and I have friends that do this. They are so addicted every couple of years, another nip and a tuck and a nip and a tuck until their face is gone. But they have to do it because they've lived the lie that they're this age and they have to show that this is the age they are.
It's a disease of more still.
It's a disease of more.
And unfortunately, I wonder, because you know some people who have done this a lot. I've known people who've done a little of it, but do they accept themselves? I mean, they can't accept themselves when they keep doing that, can they? I mean, isn't it that...
No, it's the disease of more. They're trying to attract something.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to attract
themselves up.
They're trying to fill up this cup, which is already full, especially if you're in your 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still not satisfied. It's unsatisfied. And if we want to settle into the most glorious part of aging, you can't do it if you're unsatisfied. If you're not happy with who you are, you're going to fight it every moment. It's a fear of death.
There's the emptiness inside that it brings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the disease of more actually is part of the way our culture has developed. And it's something that is in almost every aspect of our life. So we might be mindful about that and ask ourselves, is this part of the disease of more? When we feel uncomfortable or you know, things are pulling at us and we're feeling a little insecure, because if we can realize it and be mindful of it, it can be very helpful.
And also, this is a wonderful thing you can do with your children, if you have children and they watch television. Ask them for a week or two, with a notepad by the television, if you can, every time a commercial comes on, what do you think they're saying to you? Okay?
Wow.
What do you think they're saying to you?
That's a great idea.
And then work with them. If they say they're selling me toothpaste, well, what else are they telling you when they're trying to sell you this toothpaste? So that we make children from an early age
mindful.
Mindful and what they're trying to do. You need this toy. It's Christmas. Your children are going to be very unhappy without this Elmo, for example. What do you think they're trying to tell us? Are you happy with that? Would you be happy without an Elmo? What is Elmo? You know, get them to question this and be aware and mindful of this.
That is so great. And that also really addresses the disease of more as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a mindfulness throughout our whole life is such a gift. And again, we're keeping on getting back to the same point, which is I am who I am and I am enough.
The disease of more is part of capitalism. And here in the United States, anyway, there's a big movement afoot right now about looking at what is different between capitalism and democracy. How have they sort of come together? I mean, it's very, very interesting. So as I say about asking your children to look at and question this and see what it is they're selling, there's this whole movement afoot about this capitalism, and that's all about supporting the disease of more.
Yeah.
We need more. We need more money. We need more this. We need more that. We need more this. We need more that.
Well, the disease of more with the money is an interesting thing, too, because there's always that feeling like it's connected to things, but or to services, but I should be having... It's interesting, the people who... everybody has it on their own level. If they don't have much money, it might be, something even just getting another piece of clothing or... I don't know. But it's on all levels, mm-hmm. whether people are really rich or whether they're not. Mm-hmm. It's stressful.
Absolutely right. It's on every single level. The more that's required is probably more life sustaining at a poorer level when we have less, the street people, for example, as opposed to the heads of corporations that just want more for themselves. So it's a good thing to be mindful about. What do we, when we feel we need more, why?
That's a good thing. And I remember one of my friends once had talked to somebody on the street, and they'd said to them, why are you, what makes you stay on the street? Is it financial? And they said, this particular person said, no. I just got tired with having to deal with everything in the world.
Mm-hmm. It became too hard.
It did.
Yeah.
So we're talking today about the disease of more and how we can move beyond it and make it mindful and make it a conscious thing in our life, yeah. rather than just something that kind of controls us.
And investigate. I love that word. Ponder, investigate. If you feel that you need more of something, whatever it is, why? That's what would it bring you? It's important.
It's so important. Mm-hmm. You've been listening to Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com.
Your home on planet Earth.